From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's February 21st. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Can you blend words and sounds to get closer to your family's history?
And the idea was to try to capture four generations of Japanese-American farm women and going through this flow of time.
Coming up, we speak with author Mas Masumoto on his latest work. But first, these news headlines. The Trump administration is launching an investigation into California's high-speed rail project. Sean Duffy is Trump's Secretary of Transportation. He spoke in Los Angeles on Thursday and said a, quote, compliance review will focus on $4 billion given to the project. Those funds came from the Biden administration.
This is going to help determine whether billions of dollars in taxpayer money should remain committed to California's high-speed rail. And we can't just say we're going to give money and then not hold states accountable to how they spend that money.
Protesters who support the bullet train gathered outside of LA's Union Station, where Duffy spoke. A state inspector general's report previously warned the initial phase of the rail may not meet its 2033 deadline. A new study out of UC Merced finds that dairy farms in the Central Valley are not following safety protocols for workers. As KVPR's Joshua Yeager reports, researchers say that has big implications for controlling the spread of bird flu.
Dozens of workers were interviewed for this study that looked at how dairy farms are responding to bird flu. It was conducted by the UC Merced Community and Labor Center. Workers told researchers dairy owners often showed more concern for cattle than employees. Dozens of people who worked directly with infected cattle have gotten sick with bird flu. Most of the cases in California have been concentrated in the San Joaquin Valley. Researchers are recommending a number of policies to help protect workers. That includes paid sick leave, as well as free flu vaccines and regular testing. California dairies have become an unlikely battleground for avian influenza as the virus evolves. Merced County also became the site of a new strain of bird flu. It was found in a flock of ducks earlier this year. For KVPR News, I'm Joshua Yeager.
An iconic landmark in downtown Visalia is coming down this weekend. A giant sequoia tree, known as the, quote, Sequoia Legacy Tree, has stood next to the post office for nearly 100 years. But a combination of factors have led to the tree's decline. Suzanne Bianco is a marketing director for the tourism group Visit Visalia. The group manages the small corner where the tree has stood since 1936.
As sad as it is to see the tree go, you know, we're really excited about what's to come. We're not walking away from that lot.
Bianco says some wood will be saved from the current giant sequoia tree and used in a future project. A new area code will go into effect starting next week in the Central Valley. The 559 area code is running out of available numbers, so state officials are introducing a new one. Phone customers will now be assigned the 357 area code. Existing numbers won't be affected. Starting next week, though, residents must also now dial the number 1 before the corresponding area code for all calls. And now to our main story. Mas Masumoto is a Japanese organic farmer and author from the Central Valley. His work has long focused on the deep roots of his own family. His writing has examined the life that he and his relatives have lived. In his newly published book, Shadow Music, Masumoto brings us not just a new side to these stories, but was also able to incorporate sounds of those stories with the help from the Fresno Philharmonic. Earlier this month, the Philharmonic performed a new composition based on the book. The 5-part piece is titled Meguru, Dreams of Harvest. I sat down with Masumoto in the KVPR studios to hear about his book and the performance. Masumoto starts by explaining how this all came together.
I originally wrote a manuscript called Music of Ghosts, and Rei Hotora, the music director of the Philharmonic, had approached me because she wanted to try to do something different with the Philharmonic. And it started about 7 or 8 years ago. I wrote this essay, Music of Ghosts, and then they paired us with two Japanese-American composers, two young women, one from the Bay Area and one from L.A., and they then took the manuscript, which the manuscript then ended up becoming a book that I wrote called Shadow Music, and they made this musical composition that's about 15 to 20 minutes that the Fresno Philharmonic has played, and it's amazing, just amazing.
As you've just mentioned, this music is based on your book, Shadow Music, and your Music of Ghosts manuscript. Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
When I was approached, Ray Hotoda asked, you know, you could write anything, and wanting to maybe focus on one community. So I started to focus on the Japanese American community. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, one of the stories that hasn't been told is from the perspective of women. So I thought of my grandmother, my mom, my aunts, my sisters and cousins, and then even my daughter, Nakiko. And the idea was to try to capture four generations of Japanese-American farm women and going through this flow of time from the early arrivals and the sounds of history from when my grandmother first arrived, my parents' generation, the ebbs and flows of their life, certainly my generation was born, and then looking to the future, all tied with this land, this valley, and we are part of this history of this place, but the idea of the sound of history really captured me a lot.
Wow, yeah, I'm thinking of heritage explored through music. That's a really beautiful idea, and this piece was written not by you, but by these composers that you mentioned, Hitomi and Erika Oba. How would you describe the composition, and how does the music and the orchestration sort of capture your written words?
One of the interesting dynamics was I early on realized it wasn't like they're writing a soundtrack to the story. It wasn't like a movie where you can have a certain theme that just keeps repeating. It was going to be very different. The very unique thing about Hitomi Oba and Erika Oba are they're jazz musicians, and they've recorded and done a lot of composition with jazz. So I kept thinking, wow, how would jazz fit with the Fresno Philharmonic? And I was having this wonderful, you know, imagination thinking of that. It turned out to be amazing, because certainly it does not sound like a, you know, 18th century European white male composer. This is very different, but it has the flow of the story, and the story goes through seasons, right? With the idea of the first generation arrives, my grandmother's generation, in the brutal hot summer of the valley, and they work. So that's the beginning of this, and then it flows through the seasons of the next generation going through a brutal winter. And that's when my parents, before I was born, all the Japanese Americans were uprooted and incarcerated and interned for 4 years in these different parts of the United States as prisoners, enemies of America. But yet at the same time, they came back. They came back to the valley here to plant roots. So all this flows through music. So one of the things that really struck me was the idea of what would be the sound of your childhood. And what would be the sound of my grandmother first arriving? What would be the sound of my mom working in the fields, but then living at home in the 1930s and then going to this relocation camp when she was 13? Those are the sounds that were blended in this music composition, and it flows that way in an amazing way. And it naturally would have things like the harmony and melody of life, but also the disharmony, because it's trying to capture the true sounds of history.
There is a beautiful parallel there between the seasons of your family and the seasons of your farming. And like you say, the evolution of music. For you personally, to hear your work translated in that way on such a big stage, what was that like?
Oh, it was amazing, because again, I kept thinking, is this going to be like a soundtrack? And no, I didn't expect it to be. I didn't want it to be. And when we worked with the composers, the amazing thing is the Fresno Philharmonic had set up these workshops, which is very rare, as I've learned, for composers to actually start scoring a piece, writing the music to different ideas, images they felt from my story, and then having the orchestra play a sample, like a 30-second sample. So it'd be sort of like, what would be the sound of winter? when the Japanese Americans were uprooted. What is that sound? And then they jumped to, well, what's the sound of the next generation, my daughter's generation, being born into a land full of hope, and yet she stays and farms. What's the sound of the new generation farming? So all that got woven into this manuscript, this wonderful music composition that tries to capture all that and at the same time understand the dynamics of this time that passes, the emotions that passes, and it adds this emotional level to history. History isn't just dates and figures and powerful people and the victors. It's about everyday people, and that's what I think makes this project so unique.
You've written 15 books, as you mentioned, many of which have been about your family. What is it about your family that you think, and forgive the pun, makes fertile ground for your storytelling?
Well, I think it's exactly that. We forget that when you farm and grow things like organic peaches and nectarines and grapes, there's a central element. There's emotions that are tied with it. It's not just a commodity that we grow. And that's what translated into my stories. And it was amazing because when I first came back to the farm, I was raised on the farm, and like a lot of good farm kids, I couldn't wait to run away. So I ran off to Berkeley thinking that, you know, I would never come back. My parents never would come visit me at crazy Berkeley, and they never did. And then as an extension, I said, this isn't far enough. So I went to Japan and lived in Japan for 2 years. Ironically, when I'm in Japan trying to search out this new culture, I end up going back to the village my grandparents immigrated from in southern Japan, Kumamoto, and living there and working on the rice farm. And I thought, this is the very life I'm trying to escape, and I'm working on this because it involved the whole idea of closure, the whole idea of this kind of circular nature of life. So I came back to farm. When I came back to farm, one of the things that struck me was it wasn't just a commodity we're growing. There was legacy here. There was history here. And in many ways, that's exactly what this project with the Philharmonic did. It captured the idea of that sounds of history, which involves emotions, it involves central elements, and all this gets woven through. And I love the way the project turned out, but it also does reflect the idea of we farm in a different way. And this is what I think real farming is all about.
That was my conversation with author and farmer Mas Masumoto. Earlier this month, the Fresno Philharmonic performed Meguru, Dreams of Harvest, which is based on Masumoto's book, Shadow Music. Here's an excerpt of the last movement of the composition, titled Harvest Dreams. This Saturday, KVPR will be airing the entire Meguru Dreams of Harvest composition starting at 9 p.m. You'll also be able to hear the Fresno Philharmonic perform pieces by Russian composers Sergei Rachmaninoff and Dmitri Shostakovich. You can tune in on 89.3 in the Fresno area, 89.1 in Bakersfield, or stream us online at kvpr.org. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.